Toe-tapping in the garden with Rosie on the house.
1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE4U if you've got a landscape or garden question. We have Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation and Landscape and John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service here to answer your questions. You had mentioned it's probably a good time to talk about palms as well. We have covered them, but this is a plant that needs a, this is our prime time for working on them.
Well, it is. Not only do we do a lot of pruning of palms this time of year, especially your Mexican fan palms, which some people hate because they dump all that white pollen into your pools and clog your pool filters, and it's just incessant. And the problem with them is, too, you only have, you know, it's quite a bit of work to trim palm trees, so you want to be able to get all the seed pods at one time. And quite often, unscrupulous tree services will come knock on your door and want to trim your palms in April or May at the first sign of those seed pods emerging. And they come in and quickly trim them, and only to find out that after they're gone, the seed pods continue to emerge for another month
and
a half.
Palms are smart. They make more.
Yeah, they do. And they have this the seed pods emerge for about 2 months. So we always tell our customers, wait until about the 15th of June for your Mexican fan palms, till about the 15th of July for your California fan palms, and then you can get all the seed pods in one trimming. It does mean you need to put up with the pollen for about a month and a half, but it's much better than dealing with the black seeds that form from the flowers if you let them fully mature up in the tree. So kind of a two-edged sword, but we do a lot of trimming of palms this time of year. Your date palms also can be done a little bit earlier in the year, sometimes as early as May 15th for your Phoenix dactylifera, your palm trees, your date palms. And your queen palms are a bit of a mystery. Those things put out seed pods from May all the way to December. I mean, they are continually producing seed pods through the year, so we usually just take pods out of those as they emerge. Try to leave as many of your fronds, your green fronds, on your queen palms. Don't cut those off. Just reach up and cut the seed pods out. Or you can actually leave the seed pods there. Queen palms are not quite as dirty. If you want to enjoy some of the fruit, they're kind of attractive when queen palm fruits emerge and mature. They've got this kind of orange-colored olive-shaped date that emerges on them, and they're really actually edible and quite good. When they're fully sweetened, they taste something like an apricot when they're mature. So if you have a queen palm and it's got some fruit on it, you might want to let it get fully mature. In fact, when they start to drop on the ground is about when they're nice and sweet. You ought to try just trying to eat one sometime. They're kind of cool. But I was going to say all this to say that it's also a great time to plant palms. There's very few trees that you can plant in the summer, but actually palms do best when planted in the summer because when palms are transplanted, they require new roots to grow. They don't rely upon roots that were transplanted from their previous location. That's why you see these palms on trucks and their root ball is very small. Because those old roots never transplant. They have to cut those off, and the tree has to regenerate new roots. Well, when's the best time for root regeneration? When the soil temperatures are nice and high. So palms have the highest success rate when they're planted in the warm weather. So if you want to do any palm planting, now's a great time to do that. Regarding queen palms, you know, people ask me, about queen palms. Are they an appropriate landscape plant for Arizona? They really struggle. They need a well-drained, typically acidic soil. They love the sandy soils of San Diego, for instance. You'll see some there. They're 50, 60 feet tall. If you have a queen palm that's over 10 or 15 years old, that's in good health, it's an exception.
Go buy a lottery ticket.
Go buy a lottery ticket. You have an exceptionally a unique plant here in the desert. Queen palms do quite well for about 8 years. But after about 8 or 10 years, they tend to have problems because they've normally exhausted the nutrients in their planting area, and they start to struggle. And despite all of our efforts to try to improve the soil conditions, we've done some vertical mulching. We've, of course, done fertilizing, trying to improve the soil conditions around the trees. It's sometimes a losing battle with queen palms that go into a decline. We talk about a mortality spiral where trees, due to various stresses, begin to decline in health. and to try to pull trees out of a mortality spiral by eliminating those different stress factors, it can be challenging. And with queen palms, we found it, in my experience over the last 25 years, pretty tough to turn those around and make them look good again. It might be better to remove some of those old queen palms that are struggling that you've there's a lot of people who will recommend all sorts of fungicidal treatments. But unless there's a clearly identified...
Is that the fungicidal salesman that recommends that usually?
This is true. Unless there's a clearly identified pathogen, a fungal pathogen that you know is present in the trees, throwing a bunch of fungicidal treatments at it it can be a waste of time. So be sure you get a positive ID on fungus before you start dumping a bunch of stuff in the tops of your queen palms.
You had mentioned those seeds earlier. And we've got a text, can I grow new?
You know, I'm not sure if you can, if those are can be grown from seed or not. Should be nice to try. Why not? Put one in the ground.
They've got to come from somewhere.
Sure.
There's plenty of palm trees out there.
Well, I was going to say, if you've got a queen palm, they're really cool trees. They really are nice for about 8 or 10 years. And if you got one of those older ones, it might be better to think about removing and replacing. There are some other options, too. The Mediterranean fan palm is quite popular.
One of my favorites.
Now, on that Mexican fan palm, I'm going to have Mom do a little research here. But my neighbor just bought 3 big ones. I mean, these things are 15, 20 feet tall. And he got them for a killer price because there is a 6-acre farm that's ripping out all their palm trees. 6 acres of these Mexican fan palms. I'm not exactly sure what, but he said they're ripping them all out. They're going to put something different on that 6 acres, and they're selling these things for a fraction of what you would otherwise buy them for. So I will have Mom do some calling. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere around the Levine Tolleson area that this is located.
Nice, yeah. Put it up on your website. That'd be great. If you're looking for a palm tree, be in touch.
You'd
mention
it's a great time to grow.
Sure.
And transplant.
Perfect,
them.
Yeah.
If palms were in your future, a good time to buy.
Two palm trees that we really like a lot, if you've got room, is a Canary Island date palm and also the Bismarck palm. They take a lot of room, but they are dramatic trees for a landscape. If you want some really pop in a larger part of your yard and you've got the room to let them spread, you're going to need about 20 feet across for some of those trees. So it's got to have the room for them. But if you do, those are some good choices.
Very good. That's about as much time as we're going to spend on palms for now.
All right. I got lots more there where that comes from.
I know you do, but we'll move from palms now back to our irrigation system. When we are transplanting a palm, what do I need irrigation-wise to be prepared, let's say, for something, a mature tree? I mean, that's not a drip line with 2 little heads on it.
Right. If we had a nickel for every time you saw one little 2-gallon-per-hour emitter under a mature tree that has a 20-foot canopy, and you can check the charts on water, use it wisely, but to water to the depth of 3 feet, you may need as much as almost 240 gallons of water that you have to put on a tree with a 20-foot canopy to water to that correct depth. And folks just don't realize that little 2-gallon-per-hour emitter is not cutting it. We like to engineer our system so there's a separate zone for the trees. And we use typically a higher output emitter device, and we use a lot of them. You obviously don't want to water for 24 hours to try and put enough water on the tree, so we try and engineer it so within a 3 or 4 hour window, that tree line gives the trees the right amount of water and waters them to the correct depth. And, little smaller trees, smaller canopy, a few less emitters, a little bigger tree, a big old giant Chinese elm or something like that, we'll load it up because it needs a lot of water.
Now, I've seen these new drip heads that are adjustable from 1 to 10 gallon, and you just...
Bad idea.
Okay.
That is not an emitter. That is a micro-irrigation device. It is a miniature bubbler. It's called a shrubbler, and they also have a little spray, and it has a funny name. It sounds like some toy from Mattel. But the device is adjustable, and that's its problem. You should be pre-engineering this by deciding the amount of gallons per hour that you want on that plant, and we really don't want people to be able to mess with it. You can upset the entire balance of the system, not to mention those particular devices have no way of dealing with debris or calcium buildup, like the pressure compensating heads that we use from Rainbird. I should get a commission from Rainbird. In any case, the right emitter is a much more reliable product. That particular device works wonderful in pots, flowers, maybe a little vegetable bed, but not an emitter, not in the system for plants and trees.
Now you tell me.
So what?
Sorry.
So you have emitter heads from in a range of sizes that will dispense water at a quarter gallon all the way up to
half, one, two. We go to five at that point for trees, and there are larger emitters if necessary.
So talk about going from planting a 5 gallon tree and preparing that to be able to take it once it is a 25-foot tall canopy.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to keep digging up that line and popping more in?
You do want to plan for the future. So, we'll typically have the line in proximity so that we'll be able to add emitters easily. You want to be careful not to put the line right at the base of the tree. That's another problem. It might be a cute little 5 gallon tree, but don't put it a foot away from the tree, because think about where that root flare is going to be down the road. So, keep that emitter line 8-10 feet away from the tree, but not farther, because you want to be able to get to it. We might put several emitters in for a small tree and then plan on adding them and moving them out to the canopy of the tree as the tree matures. That's good planning.
Good planning.
Plan.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.